All right, it's praise time. So who has a praise to share this morning? Yes, Zach.
Her job interview.
Yeah.
She went on. She got a call and
I
she got the job.
Two.
Oh, yeah, two.
I had two.
She got the job.
Cool.
Nailed it.
Amen.
Cutting my commute from 80 miles a day to 9.
Oh, wow.
Super excited.
I guess so. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful on so many levels. And I'm sure the pay is probably better and all that too. So, amen. That's wonderful. Cool. We got to praise the Lord for last week's softball. We won half the games. There was two. We won. And had a great time. Everybody's used to us being the easiest ones to beat. That did not happen this year. They got some surprise literally off the bat. We had to pray by ourselves the second round at the end of the game. We beat them. They didn't want to pray with us. So I don't know what went wrong with that. But,
anyway. Endeavor, man.
Well, if they stuck around, we'd have prayed for them. But anyway, who else has a praise? Yes, Francis.
I had to say this praise because it proves to me that God do answer prayer.
Okay.
There was a word in the Bible that just dropped on me. I've known it a long time ago, many years. You see, as the scripture says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13.
Which says?
You will search for me and find me.
And
you search for me with your own heart, right?
Yeah, with all your heart, yeah.
Yes. That word to me means I have to come to church, because the scripture says we are two or three are gathered there. I am in the midst and all that. But searching for God is searching for his word. Right? Because God is the word. The word made flesh. The word of God is God himself. So this word that I was searching for, I just could remember the paraphrase of that word. And I could not locate where it was in the scripture. 66 books of the Bible, I flipped and flipped, I couldn't find it. So I almost gave up, but I didn't want to. So I keep praying. One night, I knelt down, grabbed the Bible. I said, God, I needed to know where this word is. And it's very agonizing for me. It's been for 2-3 weeks. And I couldn't remember. I will almost remember, but it will just go away. Almost, but never able to connect it. So this night, I knelt down and said, God, you said you will give us the Holy Spirit who will remind us of everything. So I pray that the Spirit of God should remind me where it was. And lo and behold, I flipped my Bible. And from one verse to another, it just led me to that point. To the scripture I was looking for. I mean, I felt chills all over me. Is this how God answered prayer?
He's God. That's what he does. You
it's
know.
Amazing that eventually I got that word. I never thought in the world. I checked concordance. I checked all kind of, I checked the internet. For that word, I couldn't find it. Until that night, just simple, without lights and bells, the Lord led me to that I was looking for.
Amen.
And this is a praise to his glory.
Let me read that passage to you.
Yes.
It starts in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Yes.
To give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart.
That was what happened to me. I searched with all my heart. Even in church last Sunday, I was flipping the...
And this was specific to the Jews that were in captivity. And you can just imagine being hauled off to a foreign land. You're slaves, you're prisoners, your life is worth about 2 cents.
Okay.
And any day could be ended. If anybody took a notion they didn't want you around or whatever, they'd just end it and that'd be it.
Yes, yes.
And he says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And he did it, just like he said he would. And they're sitting over there right now.
Yeah.
We're going to go visit them in November.
All right.
Amen. Mary?
One day, long years ago, I was kneeling beside my bed with my son, and we were praying to God, and just loving on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand touch my hand, turn the pages of the Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29, and listen to this, Pastor. The words were lit up with light shining on the 3 verses. And I read it. And it's, you know, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, 12, 13. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of peace. Mary, I put my name in there. To give you, and this next one I'm talking about, to give you an expected head and all that. And when I read that, I jumped up and said, "Really, Lord?" You should hear me. I think they were nuts, man. I said, "Really, Lord?" And from that, I hold on to that scripture. If you had ever called me, I would tell you where it's found. Because that never leaves my heart.
Yeah.
Powerful verse of scripture. I held on to it.
Amen. Amen. Who else has praise? Yes, Gilbert.
I praise God for allowing me to be here today. And due to the catastrophe we had in Deer Park,
just give me,
we got time off.
I'm preaching today on fellowship, part two. The reason that I'm reminded to praise the Lord for this is because of what I'm preaching today, is that I really praise the Lord for you, all of you. You are my family.
Amen.
The fellowship
Amen.
That we have is priceless. It's absolutely priceless. I'll be telling you a lot more about it later. To not praise the Lord for that would be probably would be sin about this point, to keep silent. We have something that if you could bottle it and sell it, you'd be out of supply in no time, because it's just incredible. The value of our fellowship together is, you know, when you study and the Lord is showing you what to preach and what he wants you to get today, he has to make sure I get it first. Because how am I going to give you what I don't have? And if the Lord leaves you feeling today about the fellowship and the value of what we have the way he has me, our church is going to become very close. Very close. And the value will be seen. Anyway, that's my praise. One. What's yours? Denise?
Well, my oldest son was asking me questions yesterday.
Yeah.
To do with God. And I didn't have the exact answers. So I'm working on him to maybe come for the basic Bible truths so that his questions can be answered.
Well, it's coming. But right now, he's got us in Proverbs, learning some cool stuff. And so we're in chapter 10, verse 17. Every one of these verses in Proverbs could be a separate home team subject, you know, for discussion. And so we'll use them that way. He says, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin." What's that talking about? First of all, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. How does the labor of the righteous tend to life? You're going to go to work tomorrow? Anybody got to get up and go to work tomorrow? You're going to work? What are you working for?
For money. To provide.
Yeah, you're working to put food on the table and groceries in the cupboard and clothes on your back and gas in the car and life. That's what you're working for. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. But the labor of the wicked, what are they working for if they're working?
Steal from you, rob us.
Well, they're working for, usually to satisfy the lust of their own flesh. it could not be described as life. It's described as sin. They work to be able to feed their sin. The righteous work to feed their families and their take care of their homes and all the things that life amount to. It says in verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Now, there are ways that lead you to life. The way of life, or what is that? Now, I know Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. So, he is the way of life, as far as eternal life, and a good life, and a wonderful life, and all those things. But he that is in the way of life keepeth instruction.
I think it could all mean because you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you're working for the Lord, as you know, as unto the Lord.
And so you're,
he give you the strength, he give you health, he give you everything.
If you define this verse by the New Testament, it means he that's in Christ, because he is the way of life, right? Keepeth instruction. That's what 1 John says about every Christian. It says that he will keep my commandments. And, of course, it's talking about the New Testament commandments, which are get saved, get baptized, get busy in church, and learn and grow. And your faith grows, your knowledge grows, your wisdom grows. He keeps instruction. But he that refuseth reproof. Tell me an example of someone refusing reproof. You, is that what you said, Amanda? Yeah. You have done a little of that in your past, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose all of us have done some of that before. Gilbert, what's an example of
one extreme is persons who are in addiction. They get told, they get led to rehabilitation, and they turn around and fall back into their sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Happens all the time. Yes.
Mike. Somebody years ago, and we were studying a Bible passage, and this person says, well, I just don't believe that's what it means. Just counting the Word of God.
Yeah. Starting next Friday, your first class of Financial Peace University. Isn't next Friday when you start? As long as we got it, yeah, enough to get it started. But
so I'll be here.
Yeah. Well, when that happens, you're going to have some people that are going to receive reproof, and you're going to have some people that are going to refuse reproof. I've been both. And the Bible says that he that refuses reproof erreth. It is a mistake to refuse reproof. Now, yeah, you may not agree with what somebody else says or the way they think it should be done or something like that. And that might not, you know, you might not qualify for refusing reproof there, but it's a mistake to develop the body language, this thing, you know. Well, you can't tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do. This is the body language we need to have when it comes to receiving instruction and reproof. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody is an expert in every area. Some people are succeeding and some people are not. And if you can get some good instruction from those that are succeeding, and, you know, succeeding at what? Well, life. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Is succeeding financially, is that important to life? Yeah, it is. It's extremely important. I've been poor and I've been, well, I guess rich, yeah. And I like rich better.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's not really complicated. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. Man. If I were to tell you about this and my experience with this, I would have to give you some names, and you would probably be shocked. Well, I would have never thought that about him or about her or about what, you know, whatever. But people do this. Why the hatred? I don't know. Why do people hate other people?
Jealousy.
Bad man, ungrudgeful man.
Jealousy, envy.
Spite.
Spite? You would think that hatred would be something that's absolutely absent in the life of a Christian. You would think so. You would. I mean, after what Jesus has done for me, how could I hate you? I mean, how am I going to do that? I have hated some of the things that people have done, but I wanted to read you a verse from Ephesians. This is chapter 4. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor." You know what clamor is? Remember, well, it was Karen last week asked me what a prating was, a prating fool. Running off, it's a clamorous. Prating and clamor are very similar. And evil speaking, it's what your grandma told you. Can't say something good, son, just don't say it. Be put away from you with all malice. Malice is in the heart. That's that hatred we're talking about. Put it away. It doesn't belong in your life at all. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's an awesome passage of Scripture. After all the things that the Lord has forgiven me, and I would refuse to forgive you. Now, I may not want to be around you because you're still doing it. I may not want to be around you or have fellowship with you because, you know, our differences are not reconcilable. There are irreconcilable differences. If you're going to teach people that Jesus isn't enough to save them, you and I are not going to be friends. I mean, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'll forgive you for what you've done to me, but I'm not going to appear to be in agreement with that. Did the Lord ever forgive anybody that taught lies about him? Wait a minute. Has the Lord ever forgiven anybody that's taught lies about him in the past?
He forgives everybody.
Yeah, he does. Why would I not? What I'm pointing out is that there is no excuse for hatred to exist in the life of a believer. I mean, yeah, we hate sin. Okay, we're supposed to do that. But we're talking about people now. It says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips." Well, it's one thing to hate me. It's another to pretend you love me at the same time. I mean, well, just go ahead and shoot me and get it over with if that's what, you know, if it's that bad. Never mind. I take it back. Just don't shoot me.
You scared?
And he that uttereth a slander. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Oh, that's just some strong language, Lord. You sure you want me to say it like that? And I didn't. He said it like that. He that uttereth a slander. What would qualify as a slander?
An untruth about somebody's character.
Well, an untruth. Well, all right. Michael.
Your construction company was a ripoff and you did rotten work and never having contracted with you.
Yeah, that'd be slander. Sorry. You're right. That'd be slander. I could say, well, I'm pretty sure that Sherry dyes her hair. But would that rise to the level of slander?
Purple hair.
Maybe a distant cousin of a Smurf or something. Okay. All right, I think we all know what a slander is then. All right, we're pretty good on that.
Giving a dog a bad name because you want to kill it.
All right, but what if it's true?
Gossip. Period.
That's not.
A lot of people think that if it's true, it's not gossip.
It is gossip. It's true.
If the purpose of speaking up, even though it's the truth, is with bad intention, then it's probably not the right thing to do.
there are necessities when someone has to speak up and speak poorly or evil or bad of someone at times because it's necessary. There are times. If somebody's abusing a child, if somebody's stealing from the finances, if somebody's, I mean, you could put a list on your arm that you would, of necessity, need to speak up about. But there are rules for that. You go to the right people. You don't spread it all over. You know, there are rules for handling that to where it's not a slander. Yes, Gilbert.
A slander is a way to dissuade somebody from somebody else.
Yeah, it's basically a cause to cause them to think evil of that person. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now this next one, we're all going to find ourselves on the edge of guilty. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. This is nature talking to us here. This is the one mouth and two ears principle. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. When you talk too much, what's likely to happen?
Start telling lies.
There's probably going to come some, maybe not the whole truth show up, or maybe an outright lie, or maybe a slander. Or some kind of a gossip. You talk long enough, you're probably going to say something you shouldn't have said.
Embellishment.
Embarrassment. Yeah, well, if you get caught. Zach?
Embellish.
Embellishment, yeah. Stretching it. Yeah. Yeah. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. As a matter of fact, I had an example of that this week. Lisa was trying to get me to eat some of her rabbit food. She said, would you like to have some of this? And I said, I'm going to do this the way the Bible says. Yea be yea, no be no, no. And then she said, well, what about? I said, no. But what about? No. Anyway, I thought it was a good example. I mean, it worked. Finally, she rolled her eyes and quit asking me. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. That's what we've been talking about here, this whole thing, is what is wisdom and what's not, what's wise. And we all know people that talk too much. We all know if we're one of those people. And we probably are. We probably are at times. I can't allow you to put the person that's leading the class in this category because he's doing more talking than everybody else. But I'm going to claim an out for that one. But in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The Bible said, let your words be few. When you've said enough to get the point across, when you've said enough to say what you need to say, that's pretty much it. Now, give me some examples where that would apply.
When you get in an argument with your spouse.
Yeah, that's what I
see. If you don't shut up.
You get in an argument with your...
You, well, I don't, but, you know.
Y'all argue with your spouse?
I don't argue.
You shouldn't, but it happens.
It does happen. Yeah, it does
and
happen.
If you don't shut up, you're going to say stuff that you don't really mean because you're angry. It's better just to walk away and pray about it.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good example.
You have a tendency, especially when you know you're right, to...
Well, I suppose you wouldn't be arguing if you didn't think you were right, would you? Yeah, Drew, go ahead.
I don't know if this fits really, but sometimes at work, certain people will be really stressed out about something, and they'll tell you about the problem they're having, and you pretty well understand it, but then they're so stressed out about it and that it's just like
on and on and
so that
on.
That doesn't really accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, and almost always when that happens, there are things said that should not be said. It's almost without exception. Anybody else?
Children.
Oh, boy, you're right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Young people You ever hear? Do you ever have your kids say, "Okay, Mom, I got it"?
Yeah.
Oh dear Jesus.
And that's a sign that you probably ought to shut up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say that at home sometimes. Okay, I got it. Which means, okay, you can stop now.
Or they'll say, "I know" to everything, and they've still done it wrong. I'm like,
Mom.
It's like, well, I don't believe you got it, but anyway. Yeah. Michael, go ahead.
I think that situation becomes a little more difficult when you're trying to convey a point to somebody and they say that they understand in an effort to get you to shut up, but you know that they still don't understand that point. So then you have to determine how important is it to make that point now or just back off and revisit it later.
Yeah. That's usually wise. That's the word we're looking for.
Do you have a question about the word?
She says if they're not going to be receptive, you just need to take a pause and put a pin in it.
Okay.
I have a question about the verbiage here that I'm having trouble. It says, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. So just a straight...
There's no lack of. There's no want. There's no lack of sin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one that nobody's mentioned. I think y'all must be trying to be nice. Yeah, right here. Preaching.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
I didn't want to hear it. I wouldn't be here.
Well, there is the right amount. And sometimes preachers will just take a point and just beat it to death and then kill it 3 or 4 more times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Not that you've ever heard me do that, you understand. Hey. Gilbert, go ahead.
You have some ministers who give every statement and every verse with a shout, yelling, so to speak. You know. Just
yeah, yeah. 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 Lisa has always been. Of course, she was raised in a Methodist church, and they don't raise their voice about anything there. You know, I mean, it's but you know, especially they don't talk about salvation, so they don't have to raise their voice about that either. But literally, I'm not kidding about that. They don't say a word about it. She never heard one word about need to be saved her entire upbringing in Methodist church.
Pray about seeding the word or seeding the money.
Yeah, whatever, but...
What happens too sometimes is we tend to repeat the same words expecting a different understanding.
Yeah, or...
You know, you can. It's kind of like if you're speaking to somebody that doesn't speak English very well, raising your voice isn't going to make them understand it any better.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to put it in different words and you have to be open to that kind of communication.
Well, it's sometimes the preacher, not that I know this from experience, you understand, but sometimes the preacher does not get the response that he was expecting or desiring. So he's going to say it again a little louder, see if that works. And then if that doesn't work, he's going to say it a little louder yet. And I think that advice that you gave a minute ago about if they don't get it, maybe you ought to just revisit it later. if you say it well. You see, this is preaching, and this is not just preaching, but preparing for a job interview. Anything where you may be in a one-on-one or a one-on-group situation where you're teaching or you're presenting this or you're doing the announcements, for example. I heard you say, yeah, a while ago, so I'll kick it back in your court here. Nona.
Some preachers, when they start, they will read one verse or maybe two verses, and then they'll talk the whole time relating to those two verses.
Or not. Yeah.
Whereas you have a whole list of different verses that refer to this same subject.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, there's wisdom in that, because who can say it better than God? I mean, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture and then put it in my words five different ways. I'm not going to say it better than God did. I may be able to give you some examples and relate it a little bit better, help you understand it a little bit better. Matter of fact, I got one of those coming today that I think you'll enjoy. I think you will actually remember this by the time home team comes around. Karen, go ahead.
I've been in churches where preachers are preaching and they're screaming on top of their head. I mean, their face is red.
Yeah.
You turn me off because you give me a headache.
Jesus is... Well, we're getting lots of comments with this. All right, go ahead, Terry, and then Gilbert.
No, I was just agreeing. I grew up Pentecostal. I'm all for the worshiping, but yes. I have been in.
Yes.
Enough said.
And the hanky. You got to have a hanky for that. You got to wave the hanky. Bright red and sweat going.
I can remember as a kid being scared to death to go into church.
There was a preacher that visited the church I went to one time, and I loved to hear him preach. But 20 minutes into his preaching, when his face was blood red, it's like, oh, I need to go home. I can't handle this.
Gilbert, go ahead.
Yes, in communication skills, you could say the same words, but they do affect the person's emotions. You could say, could you please move over here? Could you please move over here?
Right. Yeah, there are times that inflection needs to, and the voice needs to raise. It happens when it happens, but you're going to be on a 2 to an 8. I mean, if you start at an 8, pretty hard to. It's kind of like music, really. You know, there's a.
You're burning in hell, boy.
There's a. You know, in music, there's a time for a crescendo. If you start out too loud in the front place, you don't have room to put the crescendo in. So you need it. You need to kind of calm down a little bit over here, so that if there's something that does need emphasis, you got a little room to put it in there, without having to blow the speakers out.
I have brimstone.
Proper preparation. It's always good to think about what you're going to say before you say it. You really need to give thought to preparation for what you're going to say. And that's even in a conversation. And sometimes that's hard to do, because it's going back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes you can't listen and think about what you're going to say next at the same time. But you really do need to think about what you're going to say. And so conversations are, no wonder they're dangerous. No wonder that the Bible says, let the words be few. It is wise. Jerry?
I do that at work before I call customers to give them the bad news to make it easier for them to try and understand what I'm about to say, because you haven't taken care of your car in 5 years, and this is the problem and why it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
And you try and soften it up to where it's not.
Yeah.
Give them the good, then give them the bad.
Well, or either that or think it through a little more and make the bad look sound good. So, But you're gonna get it in good shape. You're gonna have it the way it ought to be. For many more miles down the road. So the tongue of the just. Who are the just? The justified. The justified. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. All these verses that we're talking about today involve conversation. Virtually every one of them is talking about how you're going to talk to people. Everybody has to have conversation skills. You need conversation skills. You need it in the workplace. If you're a boss, you need to know how to talk to your people who work for you. If you're working for somebody, you need to know how to give an answer. Everybody, family, kids especially, conversation skills are being wise with your words is incredibly important. I mean, you almost can't overemphasize it. The heart of the wicked is little worth. You know people that are given tasks to do, their coworkers, and their heart is absolutely not in it. I'll get a waiter or a waitress. Man, if you go out to eat nowadays, you're going to spend, I got paid less in a week for what I sometimes used to, what I spend on a meal sometimes today. I mean, it's crazy. And you get somebody that's either cooking in the kitchen or waiting on the table whose heart is not in it. You know they're thinking about, look, I said, I got to be nice to you. I said, but I can't, I'm too old to learn to like runny whites in my eggs.
Wow.
I want my eggs brought to me over with the whites cooked. And if you'll tell them that, then we won't have to send them back. And sure enough,
runny whites.
Nine out of 10 times.
That's when you order them scrambled.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I've got to have sugar-free syrup. Bring me the regular old syrup, you know. If you're on a job, your head needs to be on the job, not just your hands or your tools or whatever, especially if it got saws and stuff running. I want your head in the job, not just your tools. Yes. Josh.
I saw I was doing that same thing. I was cutting down some briars and some small trees back on the farm, and my head, well, I was off somewhere else, and I swung the chainsaw a little too far, and luckily I let off the gas, and it came around and caught my leg, but I had blue jeans on, and the blade caught the blue jeans,
ooh.
And it didn't cut my leg, but my head wasn't there. I was just
halfway
working, but I cut my leg open.
That's the chainsaw.
If you're going to do something, do it with your heart in it. That's interesting.
Which one?
The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom.